Thank you so much for that special this morning. I am looking forward to seeing him face to face. And I believe that day is coming very soon, by the way. As I look around the world and see all that's going on around us, I'm excited for our Lord's return. It's good to be with you back once again. My wife and I have been looking forward to this opportunity to be here. For those of you who may not remember us from last time, let me give you just a quick testimony about what the Lord's done in our life, ministry-wise, and then we'll get into the Word of God as we talk about missions today. I was saved at the age of 8 in Sunday school class, simply heard a gospel message and knew I needed to be saved even as an 8-year-old boy, and raised my hand at the invitation time. They took me out in the hall, opened the Bible, and showed me how I could receive Christ, and I did that day. So thankful for that. A couple years later, I was 10 years old, sitting in church just like this. And a missionary was there and presenting his ministry, and in that service, I knew that God was calling me to missions. And I'm so glad that God does save and call young people. He's still doing that. I liked the challenge earlier. Parents, grandparents, pray for your kids that God would call them to missions. Because I'll tell you what, if they are in the center of God's will, they could be at no better place. It's an amazing thing. So I'm thankful for God, how God worked in my heart, my life. Barb and I met at college. So thankful for a wonderful wife, a wonderful helpmate in my life. We joined with BIMI, went to the field of Alaska, started out in Juneau, Alaska, working with some missionaries there, and spent about 2.5 years helping to establish Lighthouse Baptist Church. Then we moved to Talkeetna. And the Lord helped us to establish Talkeetna Baptist Church. Thought we'd be there in Alaska for the rest of our lives, but after 10 years of church planting there, we moved back to Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's about 18 years ago now, and became the Far North Director with BIMI. Thought I'd do that the rest of my life, but after 7 years of that, then God saw fit to move me to the position of President and General Director. Been doing that for 11 years. God gave us 2 sons. They're both grown, adults, married, both in full-time ministry, and so thankful for the family that God has given to us. Take your Bibles now. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 67. Psalm 67. I want to emphasize really the first 3 verses of this psalm this morning, but we'll read the whole psalm in preparation for the message. Psalm 67. And as you get there, please just follow along silently as I read, beginning in verse number 1. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God, let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank You so much for Your word and the opportunity to preach this morning. And I'm asking now for Your help and for the filling of Your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that You would help me to say today everything that You once said. Keep me from saying that which I ought not. And Lord, as You have indeed met here with us already today, I pray that we would be responsive to Your Holy Spirit as He speaks to us. Lord, I pray that we would be changed today for being here in Your house. Remind us once again of the amazing Great Commission that You've given to us and our responsibility to fulfill it. Lord, if there is anyone today under the sound of my voice that does not know You as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Please, Lord, bless and help in this time, and most of all, I pray that You would be honored and glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to assume that probably most of you have heard that there is a pandemic going on. Everybody heard about that thing? I'm not sure that we can look at any kind of news, whether it be the internet or TV or whatever, and not hear something about COVID. I'm telling you, I'm just turning off the TV and the internet more just because I don't want to hear about it. I hear about it so much, so often. And, you know, sometimes it makes us wonder, hey, what in the world is going on? And quite honestly, sometimes I have no idea. But I can tell you with all assurance this morning, God does. And God is in control. And I am so glad that I serve a God who was not taken by surprise when it came to COVID, the pandemic, or anything else that has to go on around us, that is going on around us even now. And I'm so glad that, although, I'll say it this way, although missions has been complicated by COVID, and indeed it has. I'm telling you, missionaries, it used to be relatively simple to get into an airplane and fly to the field, and there they were. It's not that simple anymore. Now there's about 10 tests that you have to take on the way after you've already had this and that and the other thing taken care of and this paperwork filled out, and it's an amazing thing. And then you get there and they say, whoops, we've changed it now and you can't go, okay? Missionaries that are on the field wanting to get back to the United States, and they're really stuck where they are, and some of them needing to get back. We've had missionaries that could not get back for their parents' funeral and for family weddings, things such as that. And boy, it has complicated missions. But I want to tell you this, God is still saving souls around the world. And what's great to read about as I read prayer letters and I hear the testimonies of missionaries is that there are many people saved not in spite of COVID, but many saved because of COVID. And that's just like our God, to do something like that, to take something that you and I see as a very negative thing. And by the way, it is very negative in many aspects, but God has turned it around for good. And many are being saved even because of COVID. Now, as I say that, I want to remind you on the spiritual side of this, there is a pandemic going on. It started way back in Genesis chapter number 3 with the fall of man. It's called a sin virus. And every person in the world has been infected by the sin virus. Now, let me remind you that when it comes to the mandate concerning COVID, boy, it changes quite often. Okay, here's the mandate now. Okay, here's the mandate. And with each passing day, it changes again. But the thing that I want to emphasize in this Missions Emphasis Sunday is this. The mandate concerning the sin virus has never changed. The mandate is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And that mandate will never change. And we are to continue doing that until Jesus comes again. And with the thought in mind of that sin virus and of that mandate that we have to go into all the world, I want to focus on Psalm 67, the first three verses. This year at BIMI, I have chosen the theme of promoting God's saving health among all nations. And as you can imagine, I've been meditating on that all throughout this year. And in case you didn't catch it on the way through, that comes from verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. So as we look at what the psalmist wrote here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there's three things in particular that I want us to see this morning. Number one, I want you to see the request of the psalmist. He makes a request in verse number 1. He says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. First of all, the name God. Notice who is being addressed here. He understands that God, that is, in particular, Elohim, is the supreme God, the one who is to be addressed when it comes to fulfilling what is to be fulfilled. And he says, concerning God, Elohim, he says, number one, be merciful unto us. He is pleading for God's mercy. Mercy is to bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior, to favor, to have pity upon. And in short, if I were to give it a definition from me, I would say God not giving to us what we do deserve. And can I emphasize this morning the need to plea for God's mercy. I'll tell you, as we think about the world, but in particular bring it back even to our country, I've heard it said, and I've said it many times, God bless America. But I think sometimes I'm wanting to change that. God have mercy upon America. And when it comes to us as Christians, we need to pray and say, God, I understand who I am. I'm nothing. I'm not worthy of service to you, serving you. But God, have mercy upon me because I need that which only you can do in my heart and in my life to accomplish what you've commanded me to do. So the psalmist says, God, be merciful unto us. And number two, he says, and bless us. Can I add in here the word grace? We've talked about mercy and now grace. And I'm going to throw out this definition for you. God giving us what we do not deserve. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I believe you can raise your hand with mine and say, yes, God has shown His grace in so many ways. It's giving us so many things that we do not deserve because our God is a gracious and a wonderful and a kind God. And as the psalmist prays this, he's saying, God, give us that which we cannot attain ourselves. God, do for us that which we cannot do ourselves. And I think the psalmist now even takes it one step further. And he says, and cause His face to shine upon us. God, cause Your face to shine upon us. Not just give us grace, not just give us mercy, but God, we want to see Your face. And as the psalmist says that, here's the picture that's in my mind. I think about the little child and it goes, let's just say it's a little boy. And he goes up to his dad and kind of tugs on his shirt tail or on his coat tail and says, Daddy, 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 wants to get Daddy's attention. And Daddy may say, because I was a daddy with little boys, now they're big boys, I look up to my boys now. You know, there were times when I was a little busy. And I was distracted by this or that. You know, they kept tugging until they finally got my attention. Because what they wanted Daddy to look down and look into the face of them. And I think that's where you and I should be with the Heavenly Father. And the great thing I love to tell you about this morning, our God is never distracted. But we should go to our God and say, God, I want Your face to shine upon me. God, I want You to look down upon me and anoint me with that which I need to do, what You've asked me to do. Now let's make the application here within this local assembly, this local church right here, as this is midway through your missions year. And as you think about missions, and we emphasize that, I heard about that you will be celebrating 51 years as a church. To that I say, praise the Lord. But you know, sometimes as we grow in the Lord and as we mature and we're around for several years and several decades and on, sometimes we can get to a point where, Lord, we've got this figured out. God, we know how to do this. And God, as long as we do this program or we do that, then we're going to see results. And I understand that God wants us to plan things out. But you know what? One of the good things that has come from COVID is this. For many of us, for so many years, we've done this way and this way and this way, and we've expected results, and many times they've come because we've just done those things over and over again. But COVID has made us, if you will, step outside the box. Now listen, not outside the Bible, but outside the box, and say, God, we want Your face to shine upon us. We're going to keep doing all those things we know to do. But God, You're the only one who can save souls. God, You're the only one who can call missionaries. God, You're the only one who can get missionaries around the world. God, we need Your mercy. God, we need Your grace. God, we need Your face to shine upon us. And this morning, church, would you pray that prayer with me? Would you say, God, help me individually. God, please help our church here to see You do things through us that we've never seen before. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. God, Elohim, the psalmist says, would You grant us Your mercy and Your grace? God, would You allow Your face to shine upon us? And as he ends verse number one, notice the word Selah. Selah. Now, my wife will affirm that I am not much of a singer, and music, my best part of music is listening to it, okay? So I don't know a lot about music, but my understanding of this word is this is a rest, a pause, a stop. And I would ask you to do just what the psalmist is asking us to do. Would you just stop and pause and think about that thought? God, we need you. God, we need your grace. God, we need your mercy. God, we need your face to shine upon us if we're going to accomplish what you want us to do. So the psalmist makes this request, and as he makes the request, it really then logically brings us to our responsibility. He makes this request so that he can fulfill his responsibility. And what is that responsibility? Well, verse number 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, health among all nations. That thy way may be known upon the earth. Thy way. Whose way? God's way. And can I say this? The only way of salvation is God's way of salvation, and that is through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Snyder, are you one of those narrow-minded, independent Baptist preachers? Yes, I am. Because the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. We are to make his way known. It is the only way to find eternal life. Let me just pause here for a moment, and I'm speaking mainly, I believe, today to Christians, but perhaps there's someone who's joining us today, whether here in this auditorium or by way of the internet, and you've never experienced God's way of eternal life. I want to explain to you, and we'll talk about it in just a little while, there are so many ways, plural, and I'll put quotes around that are given today of gaining eternal life. And many people are following those ways. Some of those ways are baptism. Oh, if I'm baptized, I'll get to heaven. Or, hey, if I'm a good person, if I do this or I do that. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And perhaps you're trusting in something or someone else other than Jesus Christ. And I want to beg of you today that you would consider your eternal fate. Do you really want to trust all eternity to something you have done? You see, Jesus Christ has done it all. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's never been a time in your life when you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, today is the day where you call out for His mercy and call out for His grace and ask Him to do that within you which you cannot do in and of yourself, and that is to give you salvation, the gift of salvation. Oh, dear friend, if you've never received that gift, I beg of you, make today your day of salvation. In just a moment, in a few minutes, we will have an invitation, and we want to invite you to come to Christ. We want you to come to us after the service. We want you to contact this church and say, hey, I want to know about how to be saved. And we'd love to show you how you can know that today before you leave this place. But understand also, Christians, we know what it is to gain eternal life. We can look back. I can look back to that day as an 8-year-old boy when I received Christ as my personal Savior. And today, it's a good time for us to say, thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to fulfill the responsibility that you've given to us to make your way known upon the earth. As we think about eternal life, then also I need to add this when we think about the mandate that's been given to us. It's not just eternal life, but it's also abundant life that we are to talk about. You know, I'm so glad that God doesn't just save us and then say, okay, now you're on your own. You know, do your own thing or struggle through. You can make it. No. In John chapter number 10, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There is the abundant life that he wants us to live. And the Bible talks about this, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the part of the Great Commission, if you will. That's the difficult part, really. It's the hard part. It's the discipleship part. It's the teaching, the ways that God has said we're to live our lives. His way is to be known. And the Bible says here in our text that thy way may be known upon the earth. How are we going to make His name, His way known upon the earth? Well, number one, through our lives, through our testimonies. Knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are to be salt and light in this world. And by the way, with all that's going on around us, boy, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Just a little bit of salt goes a long way nowadays. And we are to be salt. We're to be light in this world in which we live. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How sad it is when Christians or churches say, well, listen, we need to be a little bit more like the world so that we can win the world. That's the complete opposite of what Jesus tells us. Jesus says, hey, we're to be holy as He is holy, to be perfect as He is perfect. Why? So that when others see us, they see something different in us. They see Jesus Christ. Even to the point where they might say, hey, tell me what's different about your life, something you have that I'm missing. But we need to go even beyond just living our lives and being a testimony, being salt and light. We need to also be proclaimers of the message of Jesus Christ. You know, some of you probably remember, I remember years ago there was this controversy. It was almost funny to me, even at the time, and now even more so. The controversy was, well, should we really be, you know, emphasizing like lifestyle Christianity and soul winning or confrontational soul winning? And I never did really understand that because it takes both. There's no way you can have one without the other. Both must go together. So as we live our lives, we're salt and we're light, then we are also to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, making His way known. Why? Because of those who have been blinded by Satan. You know, this spiritual pandemic does something to people's eyes. It blinds them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then he says this, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We're to preach Christ Jesus the Lord because of those who have been blinded by Satan. By the way, Satan uses so many things to blind people today. He uses religion. That's a big one that he uses. He uses a worldly lifestyle and sinful pleasures. He uses the technology of the day. Hey, listen, Satan is active. He is not taking a back seat. He is working hard to blind people. We are to preach the gospel to those who have been blinded by Satan. Number two, we're to preach because of those who have not heard the gospel of peace. Those who have not heard it, again, this sin virus does something to people's ears. They may hear the words, but they're not really hearing the message of the gospel. Many have never even heard it with their own ears because it's never been preached to them. Again, a reminder for you and I of our responsibility. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he goes on to say this, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's you and I. We're to preach that message, the good news of Jesus Christ, for those who have never heard that message or it just never really sunk into their ears. Many, by the way, we have to preach it over and over and over again. But would you just stop and think this morning about the many who've not even heard it for the first time in many of the fields around the world? Oh, we have an amazing responsibility to preach for those that have been blinded, those that have not heard, and then also I'll add this one, for those who know not God. They know about God, but they know not God. 1 Corinthians says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And Paul goes on and says, for the Jew require a sign, the Greek seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Why do we emphasize missions on a day like this? Why do we emphasize what God's doing around the world? What are we sending these missionaries out to do? To preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to do as they are out there doing what God's called them to do? We are also to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because there's so many today who know not God. They might live in what they think is a, quote, Christian nation. But they know not God. Oh, how we need to make His way known. But also the psalmist says this, upon the earth. Upon the earth. All the earth. Everywhere. Every creature. Can I remind you this morning of our world's population? Somewhere around 7.9 billion people. Let that number sink in just for a moment. That's a number that's beyond my comprehension. I really can't even grasp a number that high. 7.9 billion people in our world today. And embedded it. You know, I know about those things, okay? And I've been to Africa, been to some of the places where you guys have been around. And it's interesting to me that when I travel and I'm with missionaries, one of the things that I can just count on them saying to me is this, preacher, when you go back, tell them we need help. Preacher, tell them we need more laborers. Old dear friend, that is the prayer request that Jesus Christ gave you and I to pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth more laborers. And if it was true and needed in the day when Jesus gave that request, how much more is it needed in our day and time? Oh, we need to pray for more laborers. Not only for our own kids and our own grandkids, but all those that are around us that God would call. And perhaps, maybe, as you pray about that, God might call you. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to go? You say, preacher, there's no way I could do that. Well, that's where you come back to verse number one and say, God, I need your mercy. God, I need your grace. God, I need your face to shine upon me. Because God, you're calling me to do something I cannot do in and of myself. And just trust Him. Allow Him to use you to make His way known upon all the earth. Boy, I need to hurry on. Just as we continue in verse 2 of our text, that thy way may be known upon the earth. Now the psalmist says that in a little different way and brings it in the context of where we are in our world today, that thy saving health among all nations, thy saving health among all nations, His saving health. Can I say it this way? True saving health. I don't know about you, but growing up and even still today, I really enjoy watching the old westerns on TV, okay? I like the black and white ones probably the best. But they were the good ones because that's when the good guy always won. I really like those. Those were really good. And if you're like me and you've watched some of those, perhaps you've watched a series or two or one of the episodes where this big wagon would come into town with a fancy horse and there'd be this guy that was driving the wagon, and on the side of the wagon it was Dr. So-and-so. And remember, he was selling this elixir. Snake oil. And it would cure everything. Remember, it would cure the common cold. It would cure cancer. It would cure anything that ails you. Boy, it was curious. And remember how all the townspeople would run out to the wagon. Boy, they're just throwing money at this guy. And, you know, I'm sitting behind the TV thinking, how dumb are these people, you know? And they're just throwing their money there and they're taking it home. And you remember what happened after they got home and started taking the recommended dose plus a little bit more. They realized what this really was. And remember, it didn't really help. Like he said, all of a sudden all the townspeople were back at that wagon again, but this time not to give money. They wanted their money back. And in the end of the show, they were running him out of town saying, don't you ever come back to our town again. Can I remind you, as I've already said, Satan is active today. There are a lot of people that are rolling into towns and cities and villages around the world, and they're selling snake oil. This elixir that says, hey, you take a little of this, and you know what? It'll give you eternal life, but it's a lie. And people will spend money and spend money and spend time and spend their lives following and doing. But Jesus has already done it. He's the one, the only one for eternal life. Jesus Christ is the eternal health care plan for the sin virus. Think about that. Here, I love this. Think about it. Number one, Jesus is the chief physician. And indeed He is. The Bible says, Psalm 103:3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He is all-knowing. Have you ever been to the doctor about something? And the doctor says, well, I really don't know, but I think it's probably this. You know, that's just not enough confidence for me. And then when he says this, well, here's the prescription. We're going to try this to see if maybe this will help. That doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence either. I'm glad for the chief physician, Jesus Christ. He always gets it right. And, you know, he is all caring. You talk about a perfect bedside manner. He not just sympathize, he not only sympathizes with us, he has empathy with us. Oh, what a wonderful chief physician he is. Number two, he is the certified prescription. The certified prescription. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He is the exclusive prescription. There is no other way. We've emphasized that several times today. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But number two, he is the effective prescription. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a lot of talk about the vaccine and how effective it is or is not. I want to tell you what, Jesus Christ is the only vaccine. His blood is the only vaccine that will cure the sin virus. And I want to tell you, it only takes one time. You don't have to go back for 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. You don't have to go back for a booster shot. Praise the Lord. And it works 100%. Jesus Christ is indeed the certified prescription. But number three, and I love this, he is the complete payment. The complete payment. He not only writes and administers it, but he pays for it. You know, I don't know how many, if you've had this experience, you'd come to me afterwards and let me know, but it's very rare. If you were going to go into your doctor and your doctor would say, well, I think it's this, and here's the prescription, and by the way, I'm just going to pay for this whole thing for you. Wow. I would sit there in shock. Can I remind you this morning? Jesus Christ has paid it all. He not only says, hey, here's the prescription, here's what you need to do to have eternal life, but guess what? I've already paid for it. The question is, will we accept that payment that he has made? I don't have time, but I just remind you of Isaiah 53 about how he was wounded for our transgressions. He paid the price. And at the end of that passage of Scripture, there are seven beautiful words that say this, and with his stripes, we are healed. Healing, true healing, spiritual healing is only found in Jesus Christ. Mankind can only attain true saving health by personally meeting with the chief physician, taking his certified prescription, and accepting the complete payment that he has made. And with that thought, again, we're reminded of our responsibility. Can I say it this way this morning? I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way or not. You and I, we're healthcare workers. Yeah. You see, Jesus Christ is the chief physician. We work for him. And we're healthcare workers. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go out and tell those who have the sin virus about how they can be healed by the chief physician, Jesus Christ. That is our responsibility. So the question this morning is, what kind of healthcare workers are we? I trust we're doing our job. Now, I need to finish up this message this morning, and I want to do so by looking at verse number 3. What's the result of all of this? Point number 3, the result. What's the goal? What's going to be, what's going to happen as we fulfill our responsibility? And all of this goes on when we talk about missions and fulfilling the Great Commission. Well, verse 3 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Eternal praise, honor and glory to God for all eternity. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You understand that if some of these missionaries go to the field and they go for a week or two, or they go for a year or two, or they go for a decade or two, even if they go for a lifetime or two, if they are in the center of God's will and they have faithfully done what God wants them to do, even if they don't see someone come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he is still glorified by faithful service to him. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? But dare I say that as missionaries go, God does reward their labor. And there are those many who are saved as a result of your giving, as a result of your support of these missionaries, as a result of us going out and witnessing to those that are around us. The Bible says, let the people praise thee, O God. That is to revere, to worship, to give thanks. And at the same time, in that word is the idea of confession of sin. And those two do go together because, I'll tell you, as we worship Him, it puts our sin in a whole new light. And boy, what a good time it is today to say, God, forgive me of my trespasses, of my sin. Make me what I should be as a Christian, as a healthcare worker. Help me to do my job so that eternal praise will go to you. The Bible says, let all the people praise thee. Can I just emphasize this? All the people. Why all the people? Because God wants all people to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that someday, all nations and kindreds and people and tongues will stand before Him and praise Him. You know, I'm going to end with this thought and with this passage of Scripture. When the Bible says there, praise thee, His praise, number one, throughout all the earth, and that's verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the psalm where we are. But let me emphasize this, not only throughout all the earth, but throughout all eternity. Just listen to these verses as I read them and just try to picture being here. Revelation chapter 5 says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Can you imagine being there? Now watch. Can you imagine being there? And having somebody come up, stand beside you, and say, thank you. And you look back at them and say, what do you mean, thank you? Well, thank you. You see, I was born and raised and grew up and died in Brazil. And you supported the Barretts. And they gave me the gospel. And I got saved. You know what? I'm here today singing to Jesus because you had a part in me being here. Thank you. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And we'll all just fall on our face and we'll worship Jesus because He and He alone is the one who is worthy of all the glory and praise. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? And I just want you to take these next few moments and I want you to just really, that sila, just concentrate, focus on what the psalmist has reminded us of here today. And this day is a day to be reminded of our responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission so that God might be glorified for all eternity by every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation and people. And as you think about this message today, would you just, even right there where you are, would you pray? And here's several things I'd ask you to pray. As the pianist begins to play Hymn of Invitation, here's what I'm going to ask you to pray. Number one, would you say, God, give me your mercy and your grace. God, let your face shine upon me and allow me to do that which I cannot do. Then number two, would you say, God, help me to fulfill my responsibility to do that which you've called me to do, to make your way known upon the earth, all the earth. And then would you pray and say, God, would you please be glorified and honored through my life? And as you pray, Christian, let me again remind those who are maybe listening today who have never received Christ as their personal Savior. This is the invitation that I mentioned to you just a moment ago. If you're in this auditorium and you don't know for sure that if you were to die today that you'd be on your way to heaven, maybe you're trusting in someone else, something else, maybe you thought, hey, church membership's going to do it, but you realize today it's only in Jesus Christ, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I just want you to slip to the front here. These front pews are open. Just come and just sit down right here on one of these front pews, and we'll have somebody come alongside of you and take the Bible and show you how you can be saved today. Everybody else is praying. Their heads are bowed. Their eyes are closed. Because we're not looking to embarrass anybody, but boy, we sure want to give you the invitation to come to Jesus today. If you're watching online, we invite you to contact this church and say, hey, I want to know more about salvation. If you're here today without Christ, come. Come now. Pastor's going to come and he's going to close the invitation as he sees fit. But while he comes, would you just take these next few moments and would you pray and would you talk with the Lord?